I want to begin by relaying a short story to you. Recently, I was up earlier than I wanted to be, thanks to my young son's aggressive rising schedule. And so it was very bright and early in the morning, and everyone else is still asleep, right? So we went to take a walk, try to minimize the sound, et cetera. And we live on a cove, so which is very convenient for taking walks with children, because you can just go around and around. And so I'm up way up here, and Peter's way down here. I almost have to bend my knees down to really get a good hold on him. So he's pretty far down there. And we are walking slowly. I'm holding by one hand, and we're going along the pathway, the concrete. And in our neighborhood, there's a lot of cracks and gaps and jags like this that you have to step over, you'll trip, all sorts of things like that. And then you have the driveways where there's slopes down and slopes back up. So all sorts of precarious situations for two little bitty feet to have to navigate and deal with. And so we were walking around and having a very pleasant morning, and got to thinking about what this scene really was, which was that I was leading him by my own strength, ensuring to the best of my ability and capacity that he would take the walk successfully without any ultimate doom to himself. It might have some bumps and bruises even, but no ultimate doom at the end of this road. And that was largely within my power to ensure as I was holding his hand. But that may have not been his perspective. And especially way down there, a lot closer to the ground, those bumps and those cracks that you had to step up over and make sure you didn't trip probably seemed a lot more intimidating to him. And to me, I could, if I wanted to, just pick him up and, you know, hopped him over if I wanted to do that. But he had to really work hard and be thoughtful and careful. But he also had to really trust me, because he is in some way aware of his frailty, and he knows he needs Daddy to be successful on this walk. And he really knows it as soon as he trips and falls and skins his knee. And so I thought about how I was just taking him on this walk, and I was leading him over some of these difficult paths on purpose. We didn't always go the easy route, and I consciously made this decision to hopefully teach him how to overcome these obstacles. But I was holding his hand the whole time. So not only was I doing this on purpose to teach him how to overcome the obstacles and how to get through them, to train him in this way, but I was at the same time doing this to teach him to trust me through it. And this may hopefully begin to sound familiar to you. And two passages came to my mind as we were having this walk that I want to focus my remarks on this evening. This is not a new story. This is not a new teaching. Probably almost every single one of you have heard and have believed and have confessed the truths that we're going to look at tonight. So this is not new. This is un-new. ground. But it's also unknew that every single one of us have a tendency to forget, to get distracted, to lose sight of the realities of the truth of our existence within the context of our Heavenly Father and this life that He's leading us through. So just as unknew as this truth is, it is unknew that we forget it and don't live it faithfully oftentimes. And so that's why it's important that we come back to it again and again and again over the course of time and be reminded of the truth that we're going to look at tonight. So I hope that you will eat up this reality and that it will bless your soul and that you will find something that you can get a hold of, because I have no doubt that in all of our lives, probably this week, you've already struggled with either doubt or fear or bitterness or frustration or a complaining spirit. Notice all these things are spiritual problems. It wasn't that you ran out of money or that you haven't found a job yet. The problems, the issues that we have faced that we will be able to address tonight are heart issues. And so this will be meat for us. So that being said, let us begin with John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So I thought that the sureness of me being able to hold on to Peter's hand through these different obstacles, I thought that was sure, but it is even possible that I could lose control or myself become distracted and forget to hold on to Peter in the moment he needed it most. Or maybe it was a whirlwind or a bad storm that tore us apart. But Jesus' hand and the Father's hand are so sure that you will not be plucked from them. And this is the description of this eternal life that you have been given. So the hand of the Father, the hand of Jesus Himself, you are in surely, definitely, and without fail. So sure that the end of this truth is eternal life. Now I ask you, if Jesus can say, I have you in my hand so definitely, and that that will never fail, I will never lose grip, so surely that I'm determining, I am promising that the end will be eternal life, will be forever security in my hand. If He can surely determine that end, which He can, must He not also be able to determine everything that comes before that? If He can determine your end, He must also have the ability to determine and have in His hand all that comes before. Because if there were 100 links that He had to determine, to keep you secure. And he secured 99 of them, but one of them was out of his control. He could not promise that the end would be sure. So you see that your Jesus, who has you in his hand, whose end is eternal life, means that he's also here, present today, and he has you in his hand now in every circumstance, in every situation, and he's not forgetful, he's not clueless, and he's not powerless in your life, because he is ensuring that your end will be that you remain in his hand forever. You will not be plucked out of the Father's hand. Now, to follow up with this, we need to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This story begins telling some of the struggles, even failings, of Israel when they repeatedly complained and did not were not thankful and did not trust God through their journey in the wilderness. And they became idolaters. They complained about the manna that they were being given. They said, even in their ignorance and rebellion, that they wished that God had just left them in Egypt rather than bring them through the wilderness and let them suffer in this way. Of course, to us that sounds preposterous because we see the big picture. Yet in our lives, often we do not keep that big picture in mind, and we commit the same sins that Israel committed. So the exhortation here is starting in verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye. Fault. This week. Today. Murmuring. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Because Satan got a foothold in those who murmured and left themselves open to being attacked and eaten up by the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, Grace Chapel, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now listen very closely. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now I will tell you tonight, you who are in the hand, surely, of Jesus Christ, that this verse describes that truth of being in the hand of Jesus Christ. That truth that if God has determined your end, if he has such power and sovereignty to make your end sure, he must also have the same sovereignty over everything that leads up to the end, to make sure it is the end. And that reality is described here in this passage for you and for me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In this context, as we just talked about in Israel's struggles, the temptation is that you are in a circumstance that maybe you consider to not be ideal, or that gives you a reason in your mind, a right to complain, or a right to doubt, or a right to fear. So you're in a life circumstance. The baby got up way too early this morning. I did not get to study. I have a right to be grumpy the rest of the day. Wrong. But that's the temptation in real life. And each of you have temptations that you go through in your life every single day. But God says, there hath no temptation taken you or come upon you, come into your life, but that which is common or moderate or in the realm of mankind. But God is faithful. What? That's a great sounding phrase, isn't it? God is faithful. And it's true. But what does it mean? Is it that he's faithful to somebody or that he's faithful to something? God is faithful. What is that? Well, for sure, God is faithful to himself, which means that he's faithful to his covenant. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his integrity, which means for you, because you're in the hand of Jesus Christ, because you are his child, that he will be faithful to keep you in his hand. God is faithful to not drop you into the crevice. God is faithful in your walk of life to make sure that you don't fall over a ledge that will end in your destruction. He may lead you over a gap, but he's not going to lead you to somewhere where you will be destroyed. This is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And how does he show this faithfulness in your temptation? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. So you're in a temptation. What he's not going to suffer, it's not the temptation that he's not going to suffer. It's that in the temptation, he will not suffer that it will become too much for you to be able to bear. He will not suffer the temptation to be a certain death. He will not suffer the temptation to be leading my boy over a cliff. He won't allow that because he's faithful. He will suffer in your temptation only that much that he knows you are able to bear. Now the reality is we don't feel that much of the time. We feel like we can't bear it. We feel in life, in the, all the kids, I'm using a lot of kids analogies these days. When all the kids are going crazy and you haven't slept for a week, almost literally, for my wife, you believe that you will implode. You don't believe you will bear the load. You don't believe it. But God has said he will not allow you to have a temptation that is so much that you can't bear it. That is quite a promise. And that's coming from God, who has determined that you will be forever sure in his hand. Which means he has the ability to follow through on this big promise. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will, with the temptation, which confirms the point that it's not that he's not going to suffer a temptation for you. Yea, the temptation is the part of the plan. It's a critical element of his plan. It's on purpose that he leads you over the bumps to train you and to teach you to overcome. The temptation is part of the plan. But the other part is that he is giving you what you need. He is giving you the grace. He is giving you the specific graces through his Holy Spirit to bear up under the temptation so that you can bear up under the temptation. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So, we can all say amen right now. But tomorrow or tonight, when you're putting the kids to bed, or some other temptation, in the moment when you don't feel like believing this truth, that's when it counts, right? That's when you have to remember. That's when you have to call upon God for those graces and believe that he has provided you a way to escape the temptation and not be destroyed by it, but to bear up under it and get through it. We're going to see why that matters. That you may be able to bear it. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So this describes a new relationship between us and God. And that is one that is defined by peace instead of enmity. So this is our Heavenly Father and us, and we've been brought together by the peacemaker, Jesus Christ. And what is in this relationship? That you have access to this grace of Jesus Christ. And this grace of Jesus Christ is what's going to help you get through what we're about to read. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, not only the end of being face to face with Christ our Savior and experiencing as much as we can handle the glory of God. That is something to rejoice in. But not only that, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory in tribulations also. Knowing this is why we glory. This is why we should glory in tribulations also. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That is lasting. That is getting through that temptation, bearing up under it, and overcoming, enduring through the temptation, not being destroyed by it. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience and experience hope. Because as my personal application to this is in the last 9 months, many temptations to doubt and fear and complain and wonder, God, I was really supposed to get that job, but I didn't get it. Were you not in tune to my plan, Lord? But the endurance brings experience. The experience brings hope. And I can tell you now that I've never had more confident expectation in the Lord actively working in my life in the future than I've ever had before. Because of these tribulations. And because of the Father's hand whereby He has on purpose led me and is leading you through the difficulties and teaching you and bringing you into maturity and dependence upon Him. And that gives you hope based upon Him. And hope maketh not ashamed, which means it's not going to fail you. You're not going to get to the end. You're going to have this false. It's not a false hope. It's not a hope, a confident expectation. Then we find out, oh, well, it really wasn't that way after all. He really wasn't that faithful. But God is faithful. And hope will, your hope in Jesus Christ and in God's providence and sovereign workings in your life will not make you ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, through these experiences, through this progression, what we learn, what we grow in, what we believe in, and what we develop in our experience is the fellowship, the understanding of the love of God. Well, what does love do? What is the power of love? Perfect love casteth out fear. And so through your experiences, as you look to Jesus Christ and desire to exercise the graces that He has provided for you to overcome and get through those temptations, you will be enveloped. You will appreciate, you will believe and understand and experience the reality of your Heavenly Father's love for you. That's what this is, right? It's walking along the road and making sure He gets through it. That's my expression of love towards my Son. And that's the Heavenly Father's expression of love towards you. Well, why does He do it this way? Why does He choose to take you through temptations instead of saying, oh, instead of letting you get a bump and a scratch, I'm just going to pick you up and take you to the end and everything will be happy. Why does He not just do it that way? Well, it's because of the goal. Because the goal at the end of the day is not that Andrew will get a particular job. The goal is not at the end of the day that you will have a particular physical outcome. Now, this is how we live. But the goal we will find in Romans 8:29, conveniently just two chapters away. Romans 8:29. And we will start in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, which is an expression of His eternal love for you. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. This is that idea of determining beforehand the ultimate outcome. He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's goal, the reason He predestinated you to glory, is not really for yourself. It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. And the way He's going to bring the glory of Jesus Christ about is that He's going to give you to Him, and then He's going to make you be like Him. He's going to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ means that you experience and you exercise, you experience the temptations, the life that Jesus experienced, and that you exercise the graces that have been made available and have been given to you by the Holy Spirit. And so you grow in spiritual maturity and you grow in grace and you become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So when you're going through your temptation and God is suffering only up to and not beyond what you are able to bear, there is a goal in mind. And that goal, which is reiterated in 1 Peter and James chapter 1, the trial of your faith worketh patience, etc., I better just turn to it so I don't, because I won't say it right. In 1 Peter verse 7, it says, or 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that this is what God is doing to get you to that end of being finally and fully conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, the most difficult temptation there is, but not above ye are able. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith being tried in the fire, being tested, being purified through the temptation. So this is what we must remember, my fellow children of God, is that in your temptation, you must lay hold to the truth that God has told us in His Word, that He is working through the temptations to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. So that it is ultimately, finally, according to the end goal, what is the measure of growth? What is the proper measure of whether you're growing or not? It's not that you got some promotions or that you got the job or that whatever life circumstance it is. It is according to the end, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So through your temptations, the question you should ask yourself and the question I should ask myself is, am I growing in grace through the temptation? Am I being like the Israelites when they had a temptation and they complained or they feared because they did not believe God and trust Him? Or through the temptation, will you exercise, will you seek for in prayer humbly, and will you exercise the grace that God has given you that you may be able to bear it? And will you exercise the fruits of the Spirit of whole trust in God instead of fearing, having faith, instead of complaining, being thankful, etc., etc.? Will you grow in grace through the temptation? Because my experience personally lately, in the 2020 hindsight, right, is the previous
application that I thought I was knocking on the door and I believed I was going to get the offer. This is probably over a month ago now. I believed I was going to get it. And when that did not happen, that was a temptation. And God was very gracious. But I struggled with what you would expect to struggle with in that situation, thinking, this is not the way it's supposed to. This was a mistake. It shouldn't be this way. But what was more important, as I can clearly see in 2020 hindsight, right? What was more important is that the Heavenly Father was taking me through a temptation to teach me to trust Him, to teach me to not have a complaining spirit, but a believing spirit, and a recognition of my own short-sightedness and frailty and not being able to even get the job I wanted the most and I thought that I should have. I couldn't even make it happen. That's how weak I am. But I did learn to trust God through that. And you learn to trust God through those temptations as you exercise the graces, the specific graces that God can give you to get through the temptations, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Finally, what can help us live this way? Live and overcome the temptations according to the grace that Jesus Christ has given us and not be overcome by the temptation. Whether it's big life circumstances or whether it's a little moment in a day that's an attitude struggle. The big and the small, they're all temptations, and you must believe by God's word that He's over them. And He intends to teach you His grace to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He's given you His word to use in those moments. And sharing my personal experience as an example, and you can find your own passages that help you. But David said, I have hid your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. Andrew Beacham version. I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And this is exactly what we should do. So, a couple weeks ago, actually right after I didn't get that job that I thought I should have gotten, Psalm 33, the end of it. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. Do you believe that the eye of the Lord is upon you in the temptation? Or do you forget and you think that you're all alone and that God is not working? That's a temptation in and of itself. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Not in my strength, not in my ability to figure it all out. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. I took this particular passage at that time and I enveloped it. I hid it in my heart. I held on to it. I needed it. And that's what God has given you in His Word, is to do the same through your temptations. Most recently, this is a powerful one that has helped me get through some temptations. In Psalm 18 and verse 6, powerful. The Lord is on my side. You don't always feel that, do you? The Lord is on my side. And when you don't feel it, you continue to say it and believe it by faith. You must believe this, David says. Even you think he always felt like it? Well, the Psalms make it clear that he did not feel like it. But he laid hold of the truths that were preserved in the Word concerning God and His faithfulness to him. And he held on to them with his life to get him through the temptations and to help him not do go the wrong end, the complaining, the fearful, etc. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Now that will put iron in your bones. And you can't understand it. You can't figure it out. But you just believe it. And the miracle is that God has given you faith to really believe it. Not just to be an intellectual exercise, but to lay hold on it. So this is, He has given us the tools, partly through His Word and partly through the living graces that He gives us through His Holy Spirit, to live out what we read in 1 Corinthians, to not be overcome, but to bear up under the temptation. Because we remember, this is the worst day of my life. This is an incredible, I can't see the end of this calamity or this fear or this darkness or this loneliness, whatever it is. But I believe and I'm determined to live out the graces of Jesus Christ through them, because that will glorify Jesus Christ, and not worry, but to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Not in men, but to trust in the Lord. You're in the Heavenly Father's hand. So believe and live like you are, and you won't be plucked out forever. May God bless you.